Greetings, EdReach listeners. One thing we know about our EdReach listeners is that they're a loyal and engaged group. As EdReach grows, we're giving our fans a chance to help build a fresh and new EdReach. We want to continue to offer education media that's unprecedented and cutting edge. You can support us by going to www.patreon.com/EdReach and subscribing for as little as $1 a month. Just $1 per month. We at EdReach have always believed that education needs its own media space. Help us take education forward and become part of the EdReach family. Together, we can continue to do the work that makes education synonymous with innovation. Go to www.patreon.com/EdReach or go to the EdReach website at edreach.us and click on the Become a Patron link. Give a little so that you can continue to get a lot. Now, enjoy your show.
I'm a skywalker walking on the air tonight.
Guy Show on the EdReach Network, giving educators a big voice. This is the Two Guys Show, episode number 38. On September 22nd, 2014, I am Drew Minock. I am one of your co-hosts. You can find me on Twitter at TechMinock or use the hashtag Two Guys Show. So we want you tweeting and cheering throughout the night. So use the hashtag Two Guys Show. And my other co-host, as always, is...
Hello, everybody. Nice to see you. This is Brad Wade. It's nice to have you tonight on the Two Guys Show through the EdReach Network. I am Tech Brad Wade on Twitter. You can find me there. You can also find me on Instagram at Two Guys and Some iPads. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We know it's a little different night, a little different time, but we told you we're going to try to keep the weekly show as much as possible because for the next 6 to 8 weeks, our travel schedules are absolutely crazy. So thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. While you're joining us tonight, please be sure to use hashtag #TwoGuysShow. That's the number two and the word guys show. We will be on Twitter and talking back and forth with every one of you. But tonight, Drew, we have an absolutely awesome guest, and I know
we do.
And we are thrilled that he is able to join us tonight, and that is the awesome and incomparable Brian Wassum. So, Brian, thank you for joining us tonight. How are you, my friend?
Brad, Drew, I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. We actually got to hang out with Brian earlier this morning. As we got together, and we planned some future augmented reality Detroit meetup groups, which is we're pretty excited about. We got them booked all the way up for, what, the next four planned and on the schedule. So if you guys don't know about that, go to meetup.com and you can look for AR Detroit meetup group. So definitely check that out.
Absolutely. And Brian is a special guest. He's going to really kind of tell you some really cool stuff tonight. He's an attorney. He's an attorney in the augmented reality space. Yes, they exist. He is one of the world's foremost attorneys in augmented reality, but he's also going to talk about education and some applications of using augmented reality in education, which is fantastic, and he's got some articles and stuff published that he's going to share with you, and he's also is an author working on some very cool stuff. So Brian, first thing, why don't you tell us a little bit just about being an attorney in the AR space?
Well, it's kind of something you invent as you go along, because as you suggested, there isn't a lot of competition. There aren't a lot of lawyers focused on this space right now, and that's something where I've seen that as not only a gap in our understanding of AR in this important industry, but really an opportunity to shape the conversation and to highlight the issues that I think are the most important. So I've really had a good time doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
So Brian, how long have you felt like you've been in this space, or even like when was the first time you're like augmented reality in the legal field? What was your first interaction with augmented reality, and how long ago was that?
It actually dates back quite a while. In 2006, 2007.
Wow.
I was already thinking along these lines. I hadn't even heard the term augmented reality yet, to be honest. But I was thinking, you know, where technology is going, and, you know, me being kind of at, you know, in the first third of my career and thinking, you know, what industries do I really want to focus my efforts on in the long term? And I started, you know, envisioning what we would now call AR, and I actually, my start was in fiction. I wrote a short story for the Michigan State Bar's short story contest about a lawyer doing AR law and how, and just kind of envisioning how today's legal principles would play out in the AR space and in that medium. And then I got a little bit of recognition, a little blip, and went on from there. But then I started to continue to develop these ideas. And even, in fact, to myself, kind of coined to myself the word augmented reality, because it's not really virtual, it's kind of augmenting. So I typed that into Google to see if anybody had used that term yet, and turns out there was an entire industry already built up around it.
And I thought, here I was, I thought you were going to tell us that you invented the term for a second. That would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, I guess I invented it a little too late.
Yeah, there you go.
You're on the right track. You're definitely on the right track. So Brian, a little story on how us three, how we got connected a little while back. How did we all connect?
Sure. Well, as I recall it, you guys had just recently started your Two Guys blog, and I was reading your content on Twitter and following you guys for a while, and you guys were talking about the same things I was interested in, same things I was tweeting about, and I happened to notice after a while that you guys were just down the street right here in Bloomfield Hills and said, hey, three guys who are this passionate about the same area need to get together. So we met up at Starbucks, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember that day, and that's when kind of the AR Detroit meetup kind of began, when you started bringing that idea to us. And it's been a pretty cool process getting a bunch of people in the area, not just us three knuckleheads, but like the rest of the people around the area who are doing a lot of amazing, creative, innovative things, you know, with augmented reality, from education to industrial to, you know, advertising to marketing, creative design. All walks of life. So it's been an awesome, awesome way to get connected with a lot of creative people. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, it's turned out to be a great group, more than I think any of us had imagined, at least more quickly than any of us have imagined. I mean, really, this group has been around for a little more than a year now that we've been meeting, and
yep.
we've gotten dozens and dozens of people together from the local area, all with the same passion, but you know, from a lot of different walks of life and a lot of different industries, and that's really been a testament to what AR is. You know, it's just like the internet itself, it's a medium that just cuts across every vertical.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And one area is obviously education. That's something, you know, Brad and I are very passionate about, is using augmented reality and 4D in education, the impact it can have. Can you just talk a little bit, because we know you wrote an awesome blog post on your blog, wasom.com, about, you know, augmented reality, its impact on special education?
Sure. Well, you know, this came out of the process of not only blogging about this stuff in AR and law, but the book that I'm writing, and we'll mention that, we'll get to that, which is basically a continuation of the same, you know, train of thought, which is, let's explore all the different important areas of law and society that AR is going to intersect. And in the course of doing that, you know, I gave a lot of thought to how it applies to education and what will make it different from today's educational technology. You know? Mm-hmm. And it struck me that, you know, you mentioned special education in particular, and what a lot of the kids who need the special education, why they're in that category is that they have either, you know, impediments, disabilities, or just, you know, their senses don't always work the same way that other kids do. You know, they have sensitivities other kids don't have. They have learning disabilities, or, you know, different avenues of learning that, you know, emphasize one particular sense over another, or make one sense really hard to learn, or just makes it difficult for them to perceive the world the same way we do. And AR is really the first and most efficient way that we have to rewire not how the kids are perceiving, but how we're communicating the information. You know, we can tailor digital information towards a particular sense. And I mean, you guys know far better than I that, you know, there's been a lot of work done in this educational field for a long time, a lot of different methods, and this isn't the first one. It's not the only one. But it is a unique step forward in taking the digital information that most of us take for granted, that we can read on the internet, process, you know, in ways that most people do, and kind of bridges the gap for those kids who don't have the ability to process it the same way we do. You know, we can literally take the laws of physics and kind of tweak them so that kids with learning disabilities can mm-hmm. perceive them in the way we want them to.
That's powerful, isn't it? I mean, it kind of just shows you the power of augmented reality and that it can have the effect that it can have on learning just in general.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this before. Drew and I have had opportunities to work on this in our own classrooms with special education students. We worked very closely with the special education teacher, Kelly Hooten, in our building, who has done work with her own students and has seen us use it with students from her classroom when they come in and do work in the general education population within our classrooms. We've seen some great success, engagement. Just the depth of engagement has just been amazing. We have a lot of our own stories that we've shared some on the air, we've written about some, and we speak about a lot of them when we go around and talk about this around the country when we're presenting on this. It's just amazing that the medium is so powerful and it's so accessible and so friendly to use, and that something that is that easy and friendly, just truly how impacting it is on the student's education. That's why we're all here. We talk about it all the time. That's why we get on our soapbox every chance we get, because the power that we see it in the classroom is just amazing. Brian, where do you think augmented reality is going in education? What is some of your vision that you could see that maybe the next step or just slightly into the future with AR in education?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, take kids who are kinetic learners, for example. They perceive things and retain things best when they can see it moving, they can touch and feel. You know, AR takes things that are on a flat, two-dimensional screen and gives you that ability to see them move, see them as if they were three-dimensional. I think that is going to be, you know, one of the biggest ways that it engages kids in education that can't be done right now. It just opens up, you know, a whole world. You guys have seen especially some of the earliest work that Daiquiri did, for example, is taking a picture of a science textbook, and it has the picture of the molecule, you know, you'll see in the highlight reel, and you visualize that, and the molecule comes to life in three dimensions, and you can rotate that, twist it, and see from different perspectives how that's put together, and that just gives you a perspective that, you know, some people are just not going to get from reading that on a flat page. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't seen the show Extant with Halle Berry, it's I don't think it's meant to be about AR, but it's just the latest for me in a series of examples. What led me to AR in the first place all those years ago was, you know, you see in science fiction television and movies technology that is AR. They don't talk about it. They don't draw attention to it. It's there because so many futurists see this as a logical extension of where digital technology is going. And so if these folks are going to depict what's going to happen in the near term, the next 10, 20 years, they show this technology being ubiquitous around them. And I just caught an episode of this show yesterday, in fact, where a kid, an 8, 10-year-old kid, is in a natural history museum. And he's looking at this woolly mammoth elephant, and in front of the class's eyes, this elephant walks out and walks right in front of them, is animated, moving around, making noise, and they're interacting with this animal as if it's really there. And that just, you know, I don't have to tell you, that gives you a degree of perception, a degree of learning, of understanding that you just can't get otherwise.
I completely agree, and I remember that one of the ways that we always explain augmented reality is, of course, using movies, right? And one of them being Harry Potter, talking about the newspaper and the, you know, the pictures on the wall, you know, in Hogwarts. And then the other one I got from you, talking about the Ninth Museum, right, is where the exhibits during the day, they're just your normal exhibits, but at night they come to life. And just kind of think about it in that way, you know, where it's your stagnant exhibit, kind of like in a museum, yet it has the ability to come to life with augmented reality, and just kind of the impact that can have on the whole entire experience and how that can enhance the learning process is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Well, that's good. I was just going to jump on with one more movie, you know, bring it up to even more recent now that, you know, The Avengers with Iron Man and Tony Stark, you know, I mean, you know, we were just somebody referenced that today, Drew, when we were working with somebody and said, this is, I just start thinking of Tony Stark and Iron Man, everything you're showing us. It's exactly. I said a few years ago, we were talking about Minority Report with Tom Cruise. Now we're talking like The Avengers or Iron Man. And, you know, it's, the future is now, in a sense, because this stuff is out here. One thing that Drew and I have made a big part of what we do in education is bringing the technology into education because it's so engaging and so awesome. We want to find a way to use it with kids. And now, because of a lot of work educators are doing and a lot of noise we're making, AR is actually being built for education now. There's a lot of applications and ways that it's designed for education, and that's, you know, what we always said, that's when Daiquiri came into us, and that's, you know, since they're interested in being education and helping and think it's a very natural way for everyone to learn and experience things, the pendulum's now really shifting to where we're getting things built to have experiences inside of education. We don't have to just pull it off a shelf in a different area now and bring it into education. There's a lot of great things that we can now do in education that are designed to help kids in a lot of different situations. So it's a great time to be in education. It's a tough time, we know that, yep, as teachers, but it's also an exciting time to be in education because really things are changing. The way we engage kids and the way we facilitate instruction is changing. The days of the teacher standing up there being a lecturer and a know-it-all, it's changing. You know, there are still some, but really it's not about spitting back information. We can all, you know, find information in a matter of seconds on our device or on our phone. We all have it. That's not what it's about anymore. Now it's about, like, how do you facilitate learning? How do you help students become lovers of learning, to use your phrase, Drew, all the time? You help them to love to learn. And so it's a very exciting time.
It is.
Yeah, guys, I would throw in two additional observations that's been occurring to me as I think about this. You know, I want to make sure that our listeners understand, you know, the things about AR that make it unique. We talked about this idea of coming alive, but, you know, there's a couple other things that make AR unique too. And one is this idea of immersiveness. You know, that's like one of the key buzzwords that we use in the AR field is immersiveness, and we mean that feeling of being enveloped in the digital experience as if it's fully around us, fully you know, superimposed upon our reality, become part of our reality. And I've pictured this before. What would you say to a kid when you're trying to teach them about the slavery era, for example, and instead of showing the movie Amistad, you could sit in a room where you are immersed in this experience completely digitally, but you become like you are on this slave ship. You know, and you see the brutality going on around you, and you feel it differently when it's around you. Any historical experience, you want to teach the Battle of Gettysburg. You know, you put them in an environment and surround them with this atmosphere. Just so the stories you could tell, and we talk about AR as a storytelling medium. Mm-hmm. Education is so much about telling stories that grip people's imaginations. You can just take that in any direction you want. And then one more thing that's important to note about AR is, you know, we talk so much about the visual, and that's important. You know, the statistics of what 80-something, even more percent of what we learn, the data that we take in, is through our eyes. But, you know, there are other senses that we use to perceive the physical world, and when we talk about augmented reality, we're augmenting all of those senses that we use to perceive the world. So, you know, haptic technology, changing what we feel with our skin, audio technology that changes what we hear. You know, these things can combine in some of those storytelling examples that I gave to really enhance the immersiveness. And in a special education environment, or a kid with particular disabilities, such as being blind or deaf, right, we can use these other senses now even more robustly to compensate for those deficiencies and convey in more information through the senses that are available.
Absolutely.
Well said. Well said, Brian. Love that you added those in there, because it really does truly kind of give a bigger picture on the technology and what it actually does as you experience it. So well said. Thank you.
Yeah, let's as we're going to wrap up here, because we're going to have tonight's show is going to be a little bit shorter than normal, and we want to get to our usual segments. So we're going to kind of transfer over to Twitter shout-outs. So,
our social media, Twitter, PLN, shout-outs, here they come. Brian, would you like to go first, guest first?
Absolutely, thank you. So my number one, it has to be Joseph Rampola, host of the AR Dirt podcast. He's making it happen in the augmented space with the first, and to my knowledge only, podcast dedicated to all things augmented reality. So check him at AR Dirt on Twitter. Then I'd add John C. Havens, who is a commentator and head of the Happiness Hapathon project. He just wrote a book about it called Hacking Happiness and how technology can be used in a qualitatively positive way to enhance our experience of life. He's got some great ideas, leading some great conversations in that direction. And then third is Professor Eric Goldman at the University of Santa Clara, who is just always on the cutting edge of internet and digital technology law.
Awesome. Those are great ones. Definitely the AR Dirt podcast with Joe Rampola, awesome. Everyone who's interested in augmented reality definitely has to check out his podcast. It's exceptional. So, Brad, would you like me to go?
Go ahead, Drew. Go ahead. Be my guest.
All right. I'm going to give a couple shout-outs to some educators who shared with us today just kind of how they were using augmented reality in the classroom, and one of them even getting ready to present on augmented reality in science, which is pretty exciting. He did it today. So first one, Shannon Tobaldo. I hope I didn't say that wrong, but Shannon Tobaldo at Tobaldo on Tech on Twitter. Big shout out to him, and hopefully the AR and science went awesome today. He said he was going to share some stuff with about Dacher Education. Next one is Lily Science, L-I-L-L-I-E Science, who tweeted, it's Andrew Lilly, he tweeted, science is the highlight of my day, and that was showing a picture of the Elements 4D blocks, which is pretty awesome. And then the next one is Angeline Cheatham, I probably said that horribly wrong, so I apologize, but again, awesome sharing different ways where they're learning with the element blocks and showing it and how they're different ways they're exploring. So thank you for sharing those. So definitely give those people a follow on Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, my shout outs go to, this has been a long time supporter of the show and watcher of the show, Charles Cooper. You can find him at Thrat. I'll butcher the way you say it, but we always call it Thrasmus, but I'm going to tweet it out. And then FETC, Jen Womble over at FETC, we have that coming up, and I was chatting with her today. They're always looking at providing great things for educators. FETC is Florida's Educational Technology Conference. And then I'm going to give a shout-out to two school districts, Chippewa Valley Schools and Lance Cruz Schools here in Michigan. They ran the Focus on Smart Teaching Conference, and I was lucky enough to go work with them this weekend, and a lot of great people over there, Ed Okoneski, Craig McBain, Sarah White, three people that just made everything happen. It was great being over there with all those educators on Saturday, so big shout out to them. Those are my shout outs for this week, and I just tweeted them out. Whoops.
Excellent. And then next, Brad, is our favorite part of the show. Well, I should say your favorite part of the show. I like it too, but I don't know if I could ever like it as much as you like it.
No, not as much. I'm so thrilled because I went back to my songs over the summer, the ones that I didn't put in as part of my eight from last week.
All right. So could you go ahead and why don't you start us off since you probably have 45?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have three, and I'll go ahead and do it real quick. I Instagrammed about this song. I tweeted about this song this summer. It's called Somebody to You by The Vamps. I love it. It's some young kids, and then Demi Lovato sings on it. It's called Somebody to You by The Vamps. It's awesome. I'll tweet that out. Just a Dream by Nelly. That's going back a while, but I heard it on the radio this summer, and I went and downloaded it. It's been on my playlist ever since. So Just a Dream by Nelly. And then this is just, love this song, Don't by Ed Sheeran. It is so cool. Oh, did you have that? Was it you?
Yes.
Yes, love that song. Love it, love it, love it. It's so cool. It's just
stole my song.
I don't know. It's just got a great beat. It's the song's great. So Somebody to You by The Vamps, Just a Dream by Nelly, and Don't by Ed Sheeran. That's what's on my playlist this week.
All right, Brian, you're going to have to go next because I got to find a third song after Brad just stole mine.
Bogarted your song. That's terrible.
Honestly.
All right, so I left it to 3-2 as I was instructed. So here are mine. I'll list them off real quick. First is it's called Wrap Me in Your Arms. It's a song by Gunger. Worship song that's been really important to me this year and this week especially. Beautiful Day by U2. Can't go wrong with U2 in my opinion. And then the third is the theme song to the show Wild Kratts on PBS because my kids, who are 3 and 5, watch the show every single morning as I'm getting ready for work. And there's not a day that goes by that song is not stuck in my head when I'm here in the office.
Is that the Kratt brothers? Is that the Kratt, Chris and the two Kratts? They're last
Chris and Martin. Yep.
You know what? Big shout out. Love to have them on the show. They go way back when my kids were young. Kratts Creatures. Their third show. The one you're talking about now is their third show. So yeah, big shout out to them.
Yeah, and you want to talk about augmented reality, you know, I hadn't even made this connection until right now, but the way this particular show works is they start off in real life, it's the two of them talking about this animal, they say, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could go interact with this animal, and they say, what if, and all of a sudden they turn into cartoon characters, and they go have this cartoon show.
That's so awesome.
There you go.
Shout out, let's get those guys on the show, somebody make that happen, Chris and Martin Kratt, that'd be great to get on the show.
There we go. All right, since I had to hurry up and find a new one, and my fiance will definitely back me on this one. I've listened to this song more than I probably should, and she thinks I'm like a boy band, I love boy bands now because I've listened to this song. And Brad, you love this song too, and it's Amnesia by 5 Seconds of Summer.
Oh, I love that. That's great a song. Great, great, great song.
Great
love
song,
it.
And it just happens to be at like the top of the playlist just because I don't know. Alphabetically, I guess. So every time I start the playlist, she hears that song, and she's just kind of like, man, you really like boy bands. It's like, I'm like, it's not that, it's a good song.
That's a great song. Love it.
Yes. And then the next one was going to be Don't, but that's gone, obviously. Ghost by Ella Henderson. I don't know if anyone's heard that song.
Yep, but that's a good one.
That's a good tune. That is. Never heard of her before, the song before, and then, I don't know, I was watching... I think it was Good Morning America or the Today Show or something like that this summer, and she performed it live. I was like, oh, so that's a good song. I like that one. And then The last one, Jungle by X-Ambassadors and Jamie N. Commons. Great song.
Awesome.
So those are mine.
Well done. I just tweeted out my playlist. Gosh, Drew, you outdo me all the time. I just got to where I'm just now tweeting out my playlist kind of live. I've gotten better about that. Drew has, like, video links. God, I need some help. I'm going to have to, like, man, and I forgot to hashtag it. Oh, man. God.
It's the thing. No one knows when Brad tweets during the show because he always forgets to use the hashtags.
I do. It's just I'm working on it. I'm up in my game. You know, I focus on the entertainment and the live, but I'm trying to multitask like Drew does, you know. But
not feasible, so let's not let him have you try, but. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was awesome having you on, giving us a very powerful, you know, viewpoint about education with not only special education with augmented reality or disabled students, but just education in general and your legal background. And real quick before you you hop off, you have a book coming out soon, no?
Can you talk about it?
Sure, yeah, no, it's public now. It's a book, it's called Augmented Reality Law, Privacy, and Ethics. It's a book that the publisher Elsevier approached me about doing. They're putting it out under their imprint called Syngress. I've turned in the final manuscript a week ago today, and it feels good to have that done. It's in the final review and editing process, and if all holds, it ought to be out by the end of this year.
Awesome. That's awesome. Exciting. Congrats, Scott. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So thank you for everyone who joined us tonight on the Two Guys Show. You can find me on Twitter at TechMinoc, enter the hashtag #TwoGuysShow to find out some tweets from not only this episode, but from past episodes as well. Find us on Facebook. Oh, head over and give us a like on Facebook at Two Guys and Some iPads page. And head over to iTunes. We definitely need more ratings. So definitely give us some rating on over there and subscribe to the iTunes channel and find us on our blog at twoguysandsomeipads.com.
Yep. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I am Brad Wade. It's nice to have you. You can find me on Twitter at TechBradWade. As you know, Drew and I are very visible on Twitter, so we'd love to chat. You can also follow us on Instagram if you want to see selfie videos of me, Lamborghinis, or at conferences. That's really what I have on there. Some stuff about my kids, my family, whatever. But you can find me there, stuff on Instagram. Thank you for joining us again. We will be on a week from Thursday. Next week's show will be Thursday from Berwyn, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. We will be over there working with the folks in that district, and we are working on a sweet live show with the live studio audience. So join us a week from Thursday from Chicago, Illinois, for the Two Guys Show through the EdReach Network. So thank you again, everybody. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Brian, for joining us, and stay connected, my friends.
Good night.
I'm a skywalker walking on the air tonight.